Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Chris Daniels.
You notice that we didn't sing In the Bleak Midwinter. Because we don't need to sing it. We're living the dream. Are we ever? Oh dear. Well, all these years of singing I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. I'm low. Oh, it's great, isn't it? And I was just wandered down on the coffee run just a bit earlier. And I went past a W.H. Smith's window. And I found some great bargains for Christmas. And I was really excited. Because in the window of W.H. Smith, for a mere £8.49 hardback, you can get the autobiography of Matt Cardle. For those of you that aren't really sad, that's the winner of X Factor last week. Already his autobiography is out. What a story that's going to be. Absolutely. But then there's another one, isn't there? I saw Justin Bieber. He has got an autobiography out. He's 16. I mean, really, what's going to be in that? Oh, I changed my first nappy when I was 2. And I used to sing on the potty. Chapter 5. I mean, what is going to be in that? You know, people seem to be obsessed with these kind of stories. We love stories, I think. I think that's what it is. I mean, you got, is it Jordan, Katie Price? She's, what, 29 now? The fourth volume of her autobiography is out now. I mean, she's doing it because she can. I mean, that girl's not as daft as she looks, which is just as well, I think. But lawsuit coming. But, you know, she's bringing them out bit by bit because she can. Because there's an insatiable hunger for stories this day and age. I'm just glad that this morning we've been able to tell in different ways the story of stories. It's brilliant, isn't it? And actually, the great thing about this story is, yes, okay, we can talk about a trough, or a manger, sorry, manger. You know, a food trough, and a stable, or a cave, and all those things. But actually, this story is continuing every day in people's lives. You know, like the 80 million or so in China. More Christians in China than there are people in the UK. Isn't that great? Because 20 years ago, that wasn't the case. So that is just, you know, the story every day is coming out. The story goes on. It stays the same, and yet it goes on. It's great, isn't it? I just want to read you a verse that's been alluded to a little bit. And I got to the wrong bit. That was good. From Isaiah, one of the prophecies that was spoken 800 years before it happened, which is pretty good. And this is written exactly the same in the Jewish Bible as in the Christian one. So it's not that we've made it up to change things. This is how it is. Great, isn't it? It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. And it's just one little verse, but something really struck me with that, because some of the translations say, which means God with us. And I thought, even in his very name, his very title, it's just that one word, it's got the gospel in it. It's got the good news in. Because it's not Emmanuel, we can be with God. It's actually God with us. And that's brilliant, because even in the very 800 years before, God was saying, I want to be with you. I want to come, because out of your effort, you can do nothing. Out of all the stuff you can do, you can't earn a relationship with God. You can't earn this salvation. This is a free gift. It is a free gift. And it is God with us. At the beginning of the week, I was getting a little bit excited. Not too excited. Because I was realizing that so often we talk about trying to make God a big part of our life. When actually all that Christmas is about, actually is about God having us as a big part of his life. Yes, it's good to have God a big part of yours. It's a relationship. But actually, can you imagine that? We get to be a big part of his life. I think that's amazing. And that's wonderful. But there we were, without a hope in the world, our backs turned to God, and he wants to be with us. It's gospel 101, isn't it? But sometimes, you know, truth's exciting, and it's when we believe it, it's great. But it isn't about Jesus coming into the world and making another way in which we can get to him through our own effort. It's actually him coming so that he can blast into this world, blast apart everything that was here before, and open up a brand new way that he can be with us. And what's the flip side of that is we get to be with him. But actually what's drawing him to it is actually he wants to be with us. That's why he made us in the first place. That's why it's not about how great I am, how wonderful I am, or not, as the case may be. It's about him and who he is, and then him coming into my life and being all those wonderful things that he is to us and in us, Christ in us. The hope of glory. The hope of glory. Christ in us. Awesome stuff, you know. It's because he has always wanted that relationship with you. Because he is love. It's amazing the amount of times you get asked, or the thing that I'm struggling with is, does God really love me? Because you might have been through times in your life where people haven't loved you as much as you wanted them to. All those different things. And yet God is love. He just is. And he desires each one of us. So much so that he sent his only begotten Son into the world. I love that. The meaning of Christmas is Easter. Because without Christmas, there is no Easter, is there? Without him becoming a human being, there is no Easter. I just love the fact that you can be walking around one day, not in relationship with Christ, not in relationship with God, and you can come to a point where you say, I am going to follow him. I'm going to invite Christ into my life and follow him forever. You can come to that point and suddenly, where maybe the Holy Spirit was drawing you and working in your life, suddenly you have become a big part of God's life. And suddenly all that is in heaven, all the resources of heaven are suddenly being able to be channeled into your life. Like half an hour ago, that wasn't the case. And now suddenly, that is the case. There was a point when Jesus was in the womb, and I love that, silently, was it in one of those ones, how silently he was born? Oh well, you know, poetic license, I think, girls, you know. But and there's another one in it, No Crying He Makes. Yeah. Whatever, he was a boy. I mean, you know, it's all he did probably for a while. But but you come into that place of relationship with God because he is wanting it with you. And he cleans you. He fills you with his Holy Spirit. He makes you separate from the world. He makes you in the right standing, the same right standing before God that Jesus has. He does these things. But why? Is it just because he can do them? No, it's because he wants to make you into what he can relate to. It's all about him coming and having that relationship with you. It's awesome, isn't it? It's great. No wonder we're all sitting there with miserable faces. Hallelujah! It's the best news I've heard all day. You know, it's awesome. There's a very un-Christmassy verse from Romans 8. It says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Sorry, I was looking for the New Living to read it out of there because it's easier, but I think I've left it at Lamplugh. It's my New Living's turn to be left at Lamplugh instead of that one, but you know. But God did not hold back even his own son. Will he now not give us all things? I wonder if we did a study in the Greek about that all things, what it would mean in the Greek. I suspect it probably, if we did a study in it, would mean something like all things. You know, I have a little, you know, little inkling that actually, you know, once we're born again and we're invited into a relationship, and we're living in the good of that new place that God has made for us, then actually that's the hard bit. And really, we should be believing that God has given us. Sometimes it's, is it God's will for me to have that? Is it right for this? Is it God's timing? All these different things. But actually the promise behind it is if he's not even held back his own son, and he's paid for you with his son, then will he not also give you all things? What a wonderful position we are in. It's great to look at the wise men, the magi, whatever they were, bringing these wonderful gifts off eBay to Jesus. But what gifts? Who writes these, who does these videos and stuff? They're great, aren't they? But look at what Jesus has actually, by coming, has opened up for us. And it's when we're struggling, it's when we're feeling a little low, that some of these niggles in our life get a bit too big, get a bit too huge. But actually, Jesus is still Jesus. He is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. So, if he was the provider back then, he's the provider today, he's the provider to come. If he was the healer then, he's the healer now, he's the healer to come, yeah? Yesterday, today, forever. Who was he then? That's what he is now. And that's who he is going to be for those of us who are walking in faith. It's believing, not by our actions. It's not by what we do to try and impress God. Because he's seen it all. And it doesn't impress him. What pleases him is that his faith, is believing. Believing who he really is. Believing the truth about the situation you're in. Believing who Christ is in you. And it's when you're in that position that other stuff is absolutely fine. It comes through, it can be a struggle, but when you start by changing what you believe. I don't know how many of us in the room today are not really following Jesus or haven't been following him closely, have been doubting, have been struggling with certain things. But I tell you, you know, there is a cost to following Jesus. And we get a bit grumpy sometimes when we realize that what the cost is. I've just been reminded of something. Remember years ago, the Young Ones and Cliff Richard brought out a single. And there's one bit where Neil goes, "Play anything," and this weird noise comes on. And then he says, "Well, when I said play anything, I mean anything but that." And that's kind of what we get like, isn't it? We sort of, yeah, I can stand through any sort of hardship. I can get through any sort of situation. And then something completely off-center comes. And we really get stuck by it. Jesus hasn't changed. He's still on the throne. Actually, you haven't changed because you're still on the throne. What changes? Just your perception, maybe, you know? So this Christmas, I want us to think, maybe, yeah, Jesus came. Praise God. Oh. He did. Well done, John. If God did not even spare his only son, will he not also give us all things? What a gift. I mean, I think when you look at Jesus bursting out of the grave at Easter, that's a major miracle. But actually trying to pack someone that is God into this little tiny package to go into Mary's tummy. You know, wow. Anything's possible after that. Anything's possible after that. And yet we live with that same Jesus, that same Spirit within us. We live with that same force and that same destiny. We started today with a video about changing the world, about a cause. And this is the cause that was born on Christmas Day. Yes, a baby was born, but a cause was born to bring his love into the world, to bring his power and his kingdom back into the world, to see the world turned upside down. And I don't know if I've mentioned one or two of these things before, but you know, about 500 years ago, there was a group of Christians that got very suspicious and didn't really like the idea of, you know, way back then they had all the bishops and the archbishops, and it was all very, power was centered around a few people. And there were some groups of Christians around the country that just started to meet together. And what they did was they just started voting on different things. Baptist churches and congregational churches. And today we kind of think it's a bit of a strange thing for Christians to vote for their pastor and vote for their leader. But back then it was revolutionary. Ordinary salt of the earth, working class people had never had the vote before. Who brought voting to the masses? The church. Turned the country upside down. They had like lords, and the people in the House of Commons were all well-to-do anyway. And only a few people could vote for them. But voting first happened in this country, really, on a basic level, in churches. Someone turned it upside down. Who brought in all the social reforms of the last century? Who stopped the slave trade around the world? Started in this country, in Yorkshire, really, or Yorkshireman, was it? A Yorkshire believer. Some of the big children's charities you get today all started out as Christian organisations. You know, some of them still are. Why? Because it was the heart of Jesus born in the manger that was born in the hearts of men and women throughout the years in our country. Prison reform possibly may have gone too far now, but where did it start? With a little Christian, quite posh lady, I think she was, going in to prisons, and you know, her legacy is huge. Lots of the social housing and council housing and stuff we have today came out of Christians who made chocolate. So they were doubly blessed. Some incredible things have happened in this country. If you want to go way back, even the fact that we've got hospitals and hotels goes back to renewal movements within the Catholic Church 700, 800, 900 years ago, that they sort of separated off without leaving the Catholic Church, and they started little monasteries, and they became, one, they made hospitals, two, they made hotels, and three, they brewed real ale. You know? These are things that have come out of the hearts of believers. Don't start me on the Guinness story. The Guinness story is a great one. The original recipe of Guinness was given to Alfred Guinness as a dream by God when he was praying about the alcoholism across London and Dublin. But there you go. Incredible. Talk about witty invention. You know, these are things that the Holy Spirit has put in the hearts of men and women like you and me. And we have this dream today. Okay, we may have dreamed of a white Christmas. But what are we dreaming? What is God placing in our hearts as He's placed this wonderful baby in a trough? As He's laid the Saviour of the world into the world to become a human, fully God. What is it that Christ is birthing in your heart this Christmas? Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You so much that You sent Jesus. I want to thank You so much. Even the books that we have and things like that, the printing presses and all this, so many things we take for granted today have been put in the hearts of men and women who have followed and loved You over the centuries. I want to thank You that we're living in a time now where You're speaking to people and You're awakening dreams in people's hearts. We thank You that the best Christmas we can have is this one. I want to thank You, Father God, that we're going to have a great time this Christmas, but also we're moving forward into a new year with new opportunity. We're moving forward into the future of our lives, where no matter what we might be coming against, what the enemy might be making us feel like, what each other might be making us feel like at times, Father God, You are the important one. You are the Lord of our lives. You, Father God, sent Jesus into the world to turn it upside down. And I want to thank You that I'm in a room full of people that are people that can turn the world upside down too, because we have got the Spirit of the living God living within us. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father God. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.